Forget the stereotype of black-clad bomb throwers. Anarchism represents one of history's most misunderstood political philosophies, a sophisticated tradition advocating voluntary cooperation over coercion. Colin Ward's concise introduction reveals anarchism as the ultimate extension of both liberalism and socialism, emerging partly in response to the French Revolution's betrayal of its own ideals. What makes anarchists unique is their insight that revolutions typically replace one ruling class with another, leaving fundamental power structures intact. For anarchists, the state itself is the problem, as it inevitably protects privilege. Anarchism encompasses diverse traditions united by the rejection of external authority. William Godwin first articulated the case against government institutions in 1793. Pierre-Joseph Proudhon, who first embraced the term anarchist, famously declared, "Property is theft," while distinguishing between exploitative ownership and the natural right to one's home and tools. Michael Bakunin, Marx's great rival, accurately predicted that Marxist dictatorships would create new forms of oppression, insisting that socialism without freedom is slavery. Peter Kropotkin gave anarchism scientific grounding through works like Mutual Aid, which challenged competitive interpretations of Darwin by demonstrating how cooperation drives survival across species. What's remarkable is anarchism's resilience throughout history. It appears in slave revolts of the ancient world, peasant uprisings in medieval Europe, and resurfaces whenever authoritarian regimes collapse. The anarchist press reappeared in Germany after Hitler, in Italy after Mussolini, in Spain after Franco. This persistence suggests anarchism taps into something fundamental about human nature, our irrepressible desire for self-organization and voluntary cooperation. Throughout history, anarchists have sparked revolutions only to fall victim to subsequent regimes. From the English Revolution's diggers to the American and French revolutions, anarchist elements consistently emerge in popular uprisings. Thomas Paine captured this spirit, noting that government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil. The Spanish Revolution of 1936 represents anarchism's greatest triumph and tragedy. When Franco's rebellion began, anarchist CNT members took control of factories, transport, and land. 3 million people lived in collectivized communes, with workers managing factories and public services. The experiment ended when the CNT compromised by joining government, violating core principles, while facing overwhelming military opposition from Franco's forces backed by Hitler and Mussolini. From Emma Goldman's "If I Can't Dance, I Don't Want to Be Part of Your Revolution," to modern climate justice movements, anarchism emphasizes living freedom in the present. This practical approach has influenced labor rights and environmental sustainability, while anarchists remain prescient in their critique of how power corrupts. Anarchists distinguish between society and state, a distinction rediscovered after the Soviet collapse. Martin Buber contrasted the political principle, power, authority, hierarchy, with the social principle, spontaneous human associations built on common needs. Governments maintain what Buber called political surplus, power beyond what conditions require. Britain's National Health Service was inspired by Wales' Tredegar Medical Society, which provided health care through voluntary worker contributions. This local self-taxation model offered an alternative to centralized control. The Peckham Experiment, a family health club with medical care, showed possibilities beyond public bureaucracy and private profit. Modern anarchists advocate for organizations that are voluntary, functional, temporary, and small, preventing the bureaucracy that plagues permanent institutions. Unlike state socialism's unfulfilled promises of jam tomorrow, anarchists focus on creating immediate non-state social structures. As Alexander Herzen noted in 1847, a goal which is infinitely remote is not a goal at all. It is a deception. Critics dismiss anarchism as outdated, but anarchists trace today's global conflicts to European imperialism's divide and rule policies. Nationalist movements often distort history for political gain. While Bakunin viewed religion as a tool of control, predictions of faith's decline proved wrong. Religious fundamentalism threatened secular freedoms, though suppression has failed. Rudolf Rocker advocated respecting believers while upholding secular principles, recognizing how nationalism and imperialism shape religious conflicts. Kropotkin argued cooperative societies would reduce crime and favored rehabilitation over punishment. Yet the United States embraced mass incarceration, reaching 2 million inmates by 2000, with African American men imprisoned at disproportionate rates. Errico Malatesta's 1920 proposal to provide drugs at cost while emphasizing education, noting prohibition creates black markets, now gains support as drug policy reform advances globally. Early anarchists were deeply connected to radical labor movements through anarcho-syndicalism, which aimed to collapse capitalism through local industrial struggles and general strikes. However, globalization undermined worker power by shifting production overseas. Kropotkin noted that electricity and transportation were already decentralizing production in 1899, enabling the combination of intellectual and manual work. Today, workers in small-scale economies report greater satisfaction through autonomy, validating anarchist workplace principles. Environmental movements exemplify anarchist principles in practice. Urban agriculture shows remarkable potential. Chinese cities grow 90% of their vegetables locally, while Hong Kong produces 2/3 of its poultry and half its vegetables internally. Murray Bookchin connected environmental concerns with America's anarchist tradition, emphasizing community, decentralization, self-sufficiency, and face-to-face democracy. As environmental challenges mount, anarchist approaches to decentralized, sustainable living gain relevance. The future may belong not to those demanding more consumption and convenience, but to those demonstrating harmony between modernity and sustainability. William Godwin's 1783 school prospectus condemned modern education as rigid slavery and defined education's true purpose as the generation of happiness. He opposed national education, arguing it perpetuates prejudice, fails when externally imposed, and inevitably serves governmental interests. Working-class private schools educated 1/3 of working-class children by the 1860s. These schools succeeded because they were local, informal, unsegregated, individualized, and community-controlled rather than authority-imposed. Pioneers like Leo Tolstoy and Francesco Ferrer advanced anarchist education further. Ferrer's secular modern school movement grew significantly. During the 1936 Spanish Revolution, 60,000 Catalan children attended these schools. While progressive education transformed teachers from disciplinarians to guides, libertarian education uniquely championed voluntary attendance. The anarchist approach to education has proven remarkably influential, showing how freedom-centered learning supports both academic and personal growth. Despite the gap between anarchist ideals and 20th-century reality, quiet revolutions have transformed society along anarchist lines. As Dwight MacDonald noted, the goal isn't collectivized property, but anarchist decentralization that will break up mass society into small communities where individuals can live together as variegated human beings. Several such transformations have occurred. The revolution in dress erased visible class distinctions. The women's movement, led by Emma Goldman, fought for female autonomy and bodily sovereignty. Non-state free unions became normalized. Child rearing evolved away from punitive approaches. The decriminalization of homosexuality and abolition of capital punishment in many nations marked other lasting changes. As environmental challenges mount, anarchist principles of decentralization, voluntary cooperation, and sustainable living grow more relevant. The future may favor those who demonstrate living well with less, visibly having a good time, comfortable, with varied lives and less stress, healthy and fit, having rediscovered the elementary virtues of restraint and balance.